Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Give Me the Creeps with Abby and Daniela.
Hello, hello.
It's been 2 weeks, so I'm glad to be back.
It feels like it's been longer.
I know, it feels like it's been too long.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I'm very happy to be back, and I'm going to go ahead and warn everyone that this is a more fun episode than we've been having. We've been covering a lot of really dark, controversial cases and topics. So I just wanted to kind of lighten the mood a little bit today. So this week I wanted to dive back into the escapism that media can provide for us when life looks so dark around us. I don't know. Let's go to a safe space for a little bit here. I wrote in my notes because I was high earlier too. Said, let's have some fun today, you know? It's like a rainy day at school where the teacher picks up a book and we are forced to sit and try and relax and enjoy recess inside, even though we had plans out on the playground. And it ends up being nice. It's a nice time.
Definitely some ASMR
stuff. Heads up, right there. 7-Up type deal, you know?
Oh my God.
Fun times. I love it.
Fun times.
Good memories. But yeah, so, but actually, since it's spring and it's not so rainy, it's been kind of cold on this end, but now that it's kind of warmer, I don't know if you've had a teacher do this, but I have, where it's a pretty day and they're like, let's take our lesson outside, grab your books, grab your backpacks, and then we go sit under a tree. Yeah, that's pretty fun too. Teachers are nice sometimes, even though school's pretty much like a prison for most kids. Kids can't pay attention. They're not motivated. It's cold. It's so cold. I would hate having to bring my jacket and then peel it off and like in the bus, you know?
Yes. And then you fucking forget it on the bus. And
Jesus.
Then
or the lost and found at school. Mm. Yep. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Elementary days.
What you talking about? That happened in high school.
Oh, true. Being forgetful. I used to hate having to we had a lot to keep up with, okay? I don't know how kids do it. They're pretty much in school for as long as like a regular work day. And if you ride the bus, it takes even longer.
Yeah.
And then your parents are like, anyways, do your homework first thing. Like, Jesus Christ. Yes. I've been at school for all fucking day.
Yes. That's the last fucking thing I wanted to do.
I need to breathe and decompress. Anywho, yeah, I used to have to like give my parents my phone or put it on the kitchen table until I was done with everything.
I'm very surprised my mom didn't do that, but that is some strict Mexicans right there.
The homework was endless. My brother could really knock out some homework, but I could not. And so it would take me even longer sitting there twiddling my thumbs when it could just be done.
Yes.
I could just be done with it and go relax. But no, I would just procrastinate, pretend I'm done, watch some Jersey Shore. You know, sorry. Anyways, okay. First on the agenda before we have a little bit of a nostalgic moment with some reading time is true crime as a category is under attack. And that's being dramatic, but I just wanted to write it like that. Sorry. Misinformation. No, I'm just playing.
Clickbait.
It's happening. Can you tell we've had a little something? Sorry, guys. It's been a time, okay? This is self-care.
Yes, it is.
I agree that it is self-care with whoever agrees with it. I agree. Anyways, so, okay, it's happening now. We're on my For You page. We've brought up this podcast many times. Don't come for us. You know, don't sue us. But Crime Junkie is a big true crime podcast. Like, people know it. They can recognize it. They know Ashley and Britt by name. Like, I just feel like the next – there was My Favorite Murder that really took off. And then Crime Junkie is just, everybody loves it, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they were called out by name by someone who had a family member pass away. And I guess their podcast covered it. And this person brought up some really valid points. So I'm just going to go ahead and play the TikTok because I don't want to put any words out there that aren't mine. But anyways.
Word on the street is that Crime Junkies made an episode about my sister. Do you think they got permission? Of course not. This is called murder for profit. Crime Junkies, you're not ethical. I don't have time to pick a fight today or to beg you to remove your content where you're making money off the back of my sister's murder because I have to work quite literally all day, But tomorrow I'll be picking this fight. In the meantime, if y'all can go and please ask them to remove their content that they made without permission, it would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
So I've maybe heard one or two, a handful of their episodes in a while back, but I was looking through comments about Crime Junkie and people have different little issues. That's not for me. That's neither here nor there. All I can say is those were points that we've brought up on this show before, like this is somebody's family, you know? So I just brought up some points. I wrote down some points that I wanted to ask Daniela about while we record, just to see how we feel about the whole thing, because I mean, nobody's perfect and people try to be respectful and give the facts and spread awareness. And this really shocked me too, because Crime Junkie does things like donates money and has organizations that do this and that, that are helpful overall. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought, you know, I don't know, but this person is related to the person they were talking about, which Crime Junkie has since removed the episode. So let me get that out before people start thinking badly on them. But apparently people already kind of do think badly or think certain things about their podcast. Like, let me just do it in order before I get ahead of myself. But so the true crime audience seems to split into like subcategories. And I was reading comments and wanted to bring these points to Daniela to see what she says. And y'all can have your thoughts as well. The beauty content with true crime cases. Like that's one subgroup of the true crime community where someone's doing their makeup and like talks about a case. Like Bailey mm-hmm. Sarian is a big one.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of others, but at least they are more serious and they're not even commenting on like, this is the lippy I'm using. Like they just kind of get ready while they're talking. Mm-hmm. And so that's different in my opinion. Some people might think the whole thing is still like a unethical carnival show with something serious type thing. So like, I'm not trying to say it's one thing or the other. I'm just giving the categories of things. So that's the beauty community / true crime. And then there's this end of the spectrum, there's Bailey Sarian, who's joking around, commenting on her products while discussing something really serious and graphic. So that's that. And then there's other people who are more serious. They don't say anything about what they're doing to their face. It's just kind of going on while they're talking. Because some people can't just do one thing. They get too nervous or something. I don't know. Yeah. I'm giving them an excuse. But anyway, then there's the second thing I was thinking was unethical and seeing people comment, especially about Crime Junkie and other podcasts like My Favorite Murder, the banter, like co-hosts who banter throughout the episode during the breakdown of the case, or even banter at some point during their episode, whether it's after the case is talked about or before. Some people don't like that at all. And so we've kind of done it both ways on this show. I wanted to ask you if you've noticed that. Like we used to kind of talk more.
Oh, absolutely. I have noticed it, yeah.
But then it did make me a little bit nervous. Like I don't want this to be taken out of context, or how can we be laughing? Even if it's I burp, like say, because I'm editing, right? So I'll hear myself stutter on a word and it's hilarious, but we're in the middle of talking about something gruesome. So I'm like, damn it. I really wish we could keep that because it was so funny.
Yeah.
Aside from the freaking topic at hand, but we're discussing something pretty graphic and it's disrespectful. So, I mean, I know you're kind of, I don't want to say insensitive because that's the next topic I'm going to bring up, is like people are sensitive to different things. Mm-hmm. So some people are in the comments talking about there's like a dog section of Crime Junkie and how they get more sad, which I think I can be like that sometimes. And I know a few people are like that, where animals make them want to cry when something sad happens. But when a person is dying or something, it's not as physically, it just doesn't draw that physical reaction as easily as an animal. I don't know why
it does that. I don't know why it does that, but that literally happens to me.
Right. Does that make us horrible people? I mean, who said we were saints, first of all?
Yeah.
We're just on here talking. I wrote this in my notes. Like, you know that saying, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear, does it make a sound? Listen, Daniela and I, we're those trees and we're falling, okay? We're making noise. Whether y'all are around, like.
Ever. Oh my God, that was awesome.
I was sitting there laughing to myself. Oh, But and hey, we are thrilled to have you. If you're there in that forest with us while we're just clashing and crashing, making noise, welcome and thank you very much. But yes. I mean, but as far as like people doing this as their career and making money and doing a Patreon with extra special content, that's different. I mean,
it is different. That is, at least that's what makes us different from them.
I think so. And once again, not to toot our own horns, like we're not saints on here. We can be kind of raunchy on this show. But it's in the end, it's us being real with one another. And if y'all are here to listen and you, hey, some people hate us. Some people are annoyed by us. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But some people really just come for that, for our personalities, because like I've mentioned before, and I brought up, you know, I kind of put Crime Junkie on a pedestal myself, which a lot of people did, is, you know, their quality is pretty good. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of information. They do a thorough job at researching for the most part, which another comment on there was they plagiarize, but that's neither here nor there, because we often take from the internet, but we say like, hey, this is this article, whatever.
We're literally reading the article.
Which some people hate that as well, but then hey, we can't.
But I'm not a fucking journalism fucking class. It's literally just us two fucking talking to each other.
Chatting.
Yeah.
Which these conversations would happen regardless, because we're like, shit, did you see that Quiet on Set documentary? Which, Laud.
Yeah, they could see our text messages.
Right. Like, we're always talking about this stuff. And so we sit down once a week, or we try to, and we record it. And so, you know, we share that with y'all. It's a fun thing to do. We try to keep it not so heavy, because there are some really messed up things, which we'll discuss that too on TikTok. Like, Reddit used to be like where you go find that kind of stuff. Now it's people are going to Reddit, putting it on TikTok. Danielle has done an awesome few episodes using Reddit, because that's where the really dark stuff.
That's where
that really dark stuff is at, you know.
Yeah.
We're fascinated, so let's hear about it. But those are few and far between, I like to think, because I mean, we're trying to not freak everybody out and think, you know. I don't know how to explain it. Like, we want to have fun on here without being disrespectful. So some of that is its own thing. And we put trigger warnings, so.
We do. But we've also gotten a lot better. Granted, okay, we've stopped talking to each other when we do the serious episodes because of, like, as we've grown, not necessarily, like, in big, huge numbers as a podcast, but, like, as we've done this for a couple of years now, like, we have also learned how to handle the stories that we're telling.
There you go. So right.
A lot of the ones that are true crime, some people have said that they're boring because we're not talking to each other. We're just telling the information. And it's like, I can't. Yeah. Now that I know how people feel how it about comes it. Off. Yeah. Yes. I don't want to fucking tell a joke or make fun of fucking Abby for whatever or whatever.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You're spot on with that. Because in the end, there's being respectful and there's not being respectful. Yeah. And especially with the more current cases, I don't want to say they hurt more than like the older, like if we talked about Jack the Ripper, it would be pretty gruesome because we have empathy for those people that were murdered. But it's like if we talked about something that happened yesterday in our local community, you know what I mean? Like that would be absolutely hitting some nerves for some people, and it's too fresh, and they know somebody who, and then they tell them, oh, you were covered on this episode. And then they go out of curiosity and listen, and we're giggling and hooting and hollering like, no.
Yes. As soon as you learn that the families, I think that is what affected me.
Mm-hmm.
You learn that the families are listening and now can, because like before, like whenever these things were on like Unsolved Mysteries or whatever,
right?
Like you couldn't, the person that they're doing the story on isn't gonna, there's nowhere for them to say anything about it or react how they reacted to it. So now they can comment right on the shit
and share it to each other. And
yeah. And that is what like hit me. Like, okay, maybe they won't actually listen to this, but if they did.
Yeah. You want to be respectful.
Yeah.
Right. And some people do need to put themselves in other people's shoes. Like, but like I said, people have different sensitivities to different things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people are sensitive to different things and or sensitive in a certain way about certain things. And we all aren't going to be able to agree on the degree of upset that we feel on like a certain topic or detail, right, or whatever. And then there are people who have had something similar happen to them or something, somebody in their life that went through it. And so it's like we have the privilege of maybe never having gone through it. So what gives us the right to talk about it? I don't know. So then back to this person. Their name is Charlie, and this is a TikTok on their account, and they at Crime Junkie Podcast. Mm-hmm. And they go on to say, like, the media is trained on how to ethically handle reporting. And so content like ours isn't reporting. It shouldn't be looked at as reporting.
Yeah.
They have a point with, like, she has a point with that too. I don't know. I get it. It's like we're using this is our entertainment because, you know, maybe something hasn't happened to us like this. So it's like, oh, we live vicariously mm-hmm. in these dangerous situations or whatever. So I get it. Like, it's being used as content. But their biggest thing was that they didn't ask for permission. And even if they had, this case is not the kind of case that needs awareness or anything. It's just told for, I guess, shock value or monetizing people's story, their family history, and then them having to relive that tragic event in their life. And they're trying to move forward and keep right. peace and not have to always think about the worst thing that happened in their life. So I get it. But it's just, like I said, we had been discussing bits and pieces of those, things, I guess, about true crime content before, and now it's really, they're directly coming after like the big players, and people are jumping on and agreeing and saying. So all I'm gonna say is, everyone who still listens to our podcast, I guess we're hitting that sweet spot where we're not completely boring, but we don't make light, I guess, or have too much fun going over. So let's just hope that, you know, that stays that way. Ethically, do we ask permission? No, we don't. But I guess this person's qualm was they didn't ask for permission, and also people paid through a Patreon to listen to this episode, and they found out about it, and they were like, that's weird of you to, you know, like, oh, I'm gonna pay extra.
Yes, I can see that for sure.
Going towards listen them to this, or whatever. Yes. Yeah. Right, right. And then people were talking smack about Ashley Flowers' book. And I was like, all right, now we're getting a little too personal. Because like I said, we're not everybody's cup of tea either. And Crime Junkie, you know, for the most part, they do a great job from what I can see. Yeah. But it's all being picked apart. And that's fine, because that's what happens when you become a creator. And especially when you grow. That's why we're so blessed. We have our little corner of the woods where we can keep crashing and making mm-hmm. noise. And people love us and they come back. Thank you, guys. But when creators get really huge, that audience just widens, and then they really start picking things yes. apart that they don't like. And then everybody's like, you know what? You know what? That's true. Like whenever Georgia and Karen were kind of being criticized for like being white savior, white women, white feminism, and covering other stories, but through that lens, it's like not helpful. I'm like, dang. Mm-hmm. People really can be specific about what they want out of, which is fine. Like I said, that's what the media is for. You pick what you like and you go for it, whatever. Morbid apparently was everybody's fave. Does anybody listen to Morbid?
I used to.
Okay. People like them. And also another honorable mention, And That's Why We Drink.
Oh, I used to like them too.
Mm-hmm. Murder With My Husband is another honorable mention.
You used to listen to that one, right?
I think Lizette suggested it to me, my friend, but I had never listened to it. I think I saw a clip or two. It was cute.
I'm thinking about the Mountain High one or whatever it was called.
Mile High. Oh, that is that Mile also High. Had its yeah Mile Higher podcast. They also had a little controversy recently, like within the last year, because she had criticized BetterHelp.
Yes. There was something else too that she did, I thought. But anyways. She's
maybe done a couple. I don't know. And them too, they have great organizations they would work towards.
Yeah.
I mean, Thorne, I guess Ashton Kutcher's little thing that he had going. And now we don't know what good it actually did. So maybe I'm totally backpedaling, giving them their props here. But yeah. Mile Higher had a good setup.
She stopped associating with him, I think. And then she did something else.
Good. And that's the thing, too, is when podcasters double down and they're like, you either like us or you hate us. That's one way to be. And then there's people who listen to their audience and they're like, oh, yeah, that was my bad. Yeah. But the latest controversy was that she was using BetterHelp after talking smack, and people were like putting the clip on Reddit and stuff. And remember when she said this? Because I guess the creator that is sponsored by BetterHelp gets paid $100 per person that signs up or something. So that's like, she's benefiting. And she literally had said, I can't see myself wanting to benefit off of people's mental health struggles. And then she had, people gave her the receipts for that. But I don't know if she's still sponsored. I don't know how it even works. This is all what I read. No idea. But I'm just saying, people are paying attention and they will choose who they want to support. People will get canceled here in a minute.
Absolutely.
With how quick. And that brings me to my next point, that the TikTok creators are getting so good at quickly reporting like good detailed facts on more recent cases. So it's like super sensitive, and they're being more serious in them and just like straight up talking, or it's like a very sad thing that they're talking about and you can tell they're visibly sad. So people are getting really, they're doing a better job is what I want to say. And with how quickly we can see cases just popping up left and right.
Yeah.
They better, because we need to be sensitive of other people's feelings when it's so fresh. Oh my God. The Ruby Frankie situation. Have you been seeing the clips of the?
No.
OMG. We'll have to discuss that later, or I'll put together something, because I've brought up that case a few times since it's actively happening. She was just sentenced, but they're barely releasing the body cam footage and the Ring doorbell footage of the little boy escaping to the neighbors. It's sad. It's really fucked up. And the house looks way worse than you would even possibly imagine.
I literally just saw like a news, like the news website, like link or whatever. Like I saw the cover of it. So I didn't read the story, but what the fuck?
Right. It's like a dungeon. Like they made it windowless rooms for the kids to be. And there's like straps and stuff. Like it's horrible. I did not picture them going that far with like setting the whole thing up.
Yeah.
Basically for torture and abuse. Like that's pretty much, they were bringing kids to Jody's house for this form of discipline. It was just awful. The details are just getting worse and worse. So at another time we will see what else unfolds, but I have not been able to sit through the whole thing yet. And there was a 2020 thing about it recently too. So it's being covered now in detail. It's just, I don't know, crazy stuff that we can just know, like the amount of stuff we can know about a case nowadays. So like right, transparent. Yeah. So yeah, people will be sensitive about certain things. And that concludes that just to get people thinking how they view content. Sometimes people can watch any kind of true crime, whether it's like funny, goofy, silly, disrespectful, yeah, or more serious. I don't know. People have a wide range.
There are some things that I will watch that are supposed to be like funny or whatever. And most of the time I can take a joke pretty well, but whenever it like gives me the ick, that's when you know it's not good. Like it's bad. It's really bad.
Yeah. That makes
incredibly
sense.
Bad. Yeah.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I
when
just
it's like
posted,
a, talking about a woman or something, I'm like, okay.
Yes. That is also very unsettling.
Like there's a reason they said it like that or whatever. Anyway,
yes.
Go on.
I just posted on Facebook yesterday, actually, a meme that says, I can't watch a movie where a dog dies, but I will watch a serial killer documentary where 27 people are murdered to relax at night.
It makes sense. It's that escapism too. Once again,
yes.
Let me watch something horrifying that I would never survive through, and yeah, that'll distract me for a good bit.
Yes, that is probably the most accurate thing I've ever heard. That's why I fucking read books. That's why I like true crime.
You are walking in the correct direction with that mention. Oh, another honorable mention is last podcast on the left.
Oh, that's the one that you liked with the dude.
That's pretty funny. I think that was. Yeah, it was mentioned in the comments too of some of those. In that TikTok, people were like, "Last podcast on the left makes me laugh" or whatever. I'm like, okay, cool. But I don't know. I don't know how they get away with that because it could be pretty bad sometimes too.
It's because they're men.
Ugh. See, but women are the bitches. Anyways, let's not. It's a light, funny, lighthearted episode.
Oh, that's right. Script that.
Put away the female rage. Okay. So, and yeah, with TikTok being threatened again, I'm not gonna lie. I've been scrolling, so that's why I was like, let's have this conversation about what we think about
true crime. Mom watches fucking TikToks more than I do now. She was like devastated that they were gonna get rid of it.
Take that away from us. Yeah, for real. She's not wrong. Okay. So now I was feeling spooky and there was a cold front recently that came through. So I got that last little taste of cozy and spooky vibes before it's warm and bright most of the time. Mm-hmm. Anyways, my bad. You hear me over explaining. Anyways, I've been watching a lot of paranormal, like little investigators on YouTube. So that's gotten me back into ghosts, and I wanted to take a break from true crime anyway. So this all came at the perfect time. We're going to dive back into the paranormal side of things, leave the physical world a little bit and get back into weird theories and, ghost sightings and things. But I am working on that still. So we're just going to kind of dip our toes in with some scary stories today.
Okay.
And we've been reading, like you said. So I had the reading vibes and my craving for paranormal topics since it's been so long since we covered something not of the physical world. So I thought, let's read someone's work. And then I did a little comparison in this part of my notes. I said, you know those bins of books at the store or like bins of movies that you've never heard of?
Yeah.
I know it feels like giving out a participation award here, but genuinely, that's someone's work. So let's read something. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
I've never heard of these. I've never heard of these authors. Some of them are big. These might all be big authors, and I'm just ignorant on literature because some of these are old stories. But I have a more familiar book here. More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, because my original Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, I believe I let someone borrow it and that bitch did not give it back. Thanks.
Oh, fuck.
I hate when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho. Okay. So let's read from More Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark here. Should I read off the titles and then you choose, or how should we do this?
However you feel. It's
some of these are so short, so I mean, and effective. Oof. Did you ever read these?
Yes, I did. I sure did.
Some of them remind me of like a Twilight Zone episode or something.
Oui.
Creeps. Okay. Let's read. Ooh, let's start with The Man in the Middle. Have you heard of this one?
No, I don't think so. That sounds fucking crazy.
Okay, here we go. Oh yeah, this is 2 pages. Are you kidding me? The Man in the Middle. It was almost midnight. Sally Truitt had just gotten on the subway train at 15th Street after visiting her mother. Don't worry, Sally had told her. The subway is safe. There's always a policeman on duty. But that night, she didn't see one. Except for her, the subway car was empty. At 42nd Street, 3 tough-looking men got on. 2 of them were holding up the 3rd, who looked drunk. His head rolled from side to side, and his legs refused to work. When they got him seated between them, his head came to rest on one of his shoulders. Sally thought he was staring at her. She buried her head in a book and tried not to notice. At 28th Street, one of the men stood up. "Take it easy, Jim," he said to the man in the middle, and he got off. At 23rd Street, Jim's other friend stood up. "You'll be fine," he said, and he got off. Now the only ones left in the car were Jim and Sally. Just then, the train went around a sharp curve, and Jim pitched onto the floor at Sally's feet. When she looked down at him, she saw a trickle of blood on the side of his head. Just above it, a bullet hole.
What?
They were propping him up.
Oh, shit.
They left him in there with her. How rude.
That is fucking creepy.
Isn't that being on the train and trying to play it cool? And then trying to prove what's her name right, because you're like, it's safe. Ain't that how it goes?
Yes.
At least she didn't get shot. Okay. Let me find another one. What do you rate that out of 5 for a short story?
Probably 4. Wait, what's the numbers? Or the scale?
Out of 5 stars.
I'd give that about 3.
Okay. Alvin Schwartz, collected from Folklore and retold by Alvin Schwartz. Drawings by Stephen Gammell. Okay, so that was The Man in the Middle. Moving on. And for an extra thrill, this is narrated by Alvin Schwartz himself on YouTube. And it's like a full video, like 4 hours long of the whole, of every story. That's super cool. You can fall asleep to it. It's awesome. Let's see. Ooh, The Window. You heard of that one?
That sounds fucking terrifying.
37. Let's go. Okay. The Window. Margaret and her brothers, Paul and David, shared a small house on top of a hill just outside the village. It was so warm one summer's night that Margaret could not sleep. She sat up in bed in the darkness of her room, watching the moon move across the sky. Suddenly, something caught her eye. She saw 2 small yellow-green lights moving through the woods near the graveyard at the bottom of the hill. They looked like the eyes of some animal, but she could not make out what kind of creature it was. Soon, the creature left the woods and moved up the hill toward the house. For a few minutes, Margaret lost sight of it. Then she saw it coming across the lawn toward her window. It looked something like a man, and yet it didn't.
No.
Margaret was terrified. She wanted to run from her room, but the door was next to her window. She was afraid the creature would see her and break in before she could escape. When the creature turned and moved in another direction, Margaret rushed to the door. But before she could open the door, it was back. Margaret found herself staring through the window at a shrunken face like that of a mummy. Its yellow-green eyes gleamed like a cat's eyes. She wanted to scream, but she was so frightened that she could not make a sound. The creature broke the window glass, unlocked the window, and crawled inside.
Oh my god, no, that scared me. I haven't got goosebumps like that in a long time.
Oh my god. Margaret tried to flee, but the creature caught her. It twisted its long, bony fingers into her hair and pulled back her head and sank its teeth into her throat. Margaret screamed and fainted. When her brothers heard her piercing scream, they rushed to her room. But by the time they got to the door, unlocked, the creature had fled. Margaret lay on the floor bleeding and unconscious. While Paul tried to stop the bleeding, David chased the creature down the hill and toward the graveyard, but soon he lost sight of it. The police thought it was the work of an escaped lunatic who believed he was a vampire. When Margaret recovered, her brothers wanted to move to a safer place where it would be harder to break in, but Margaret refused. The creature would never come back. She was sure of that. But just in case, Paul and David began to keep loaded pistols in their rooms. One night, months later, Margaret was awakened by a scratching sound at the window.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, my God. I hate you so much. I fucking cannot.
Okay. One night, months later, Margaret was awakened by a scratching sound at the window. When she opened her eyes, there was the same shrunken face staring at her. The night her brothers heard her cries in time, they chased the creature down the hill and David shot it in the leg, but the creature managed to scramble over the graveyard wall and disappeared near an old burial vault. The next day, Margaret and her brothers watched as the sexton of the church opened the burial vault. Inside was a horrifying scene. Broken coffins, bones, and rotting flesh were scattered all over the floor. Only one coffin had not been disturbed. When the sexton opened it, there lay the creature with the shrunken face that had attacked Margaret. The telltale bullet was in its leg. They did the only thing they knew of to rid themselves of the vampire. The sexton built a roaring blaze outside the vault and fed the shrunken body to the flames. They watched the body burn until nothing remained but ashes.
God damn it.
That one was a good one.
That one was fucking terrifying. That was 5 stars.
5! Okay. Let's see. Oh, the bed by the window.
No, my bed's by the window. Skip it. Skip it.
Trust me, it's worth.
No, I'm not ready. I'm not going to listen. I'm going to put my shit on.
It's short. The bed by the window.
I need to call Jeremy back in here.
The three old men shared a room at the nursing home. Their room had only one window, but for them, it was the only link to the real world. Ted Conklin, who had been there the longest, had the bed next to the window. When Ted died, the man in the next bed, George Best, took his place, and the third man, Richard Green, took George's bed. Despite his illness, George was a cheerful man who spent his days describing the sights he could see from his bed. Pretty girls, a policeman on horseback, a traffic jam, a pizza parlor, a fire station, and other scenes of life outside. Richard loved to listen to George, but the more George talked about life outside, the more Richard wanted to see it for himself. Yet he knew that only when George died would he have his chance. He wanted to look out that window so badly that one day he decided to kill George. He is going to die soon anyway, he told himself. What difference would it make? George had a bad heart. If he had a heart attack during the night and a nurse could not get to him right away, he had pills he could take. He kept them in a bottle on top of the cabinet between his bed and Richard's. All Richard had to do was knock the bottle to the floor where Richard could not reach it. A few nights later, George died just as Richard had planned he would, and the next morning Richard was moved to the bed by the window. Now he could see for himself all the things outside that George had described. After the nurses had left, Richard turned to the window and looked out, but all he could see was a blank brick wall.
Oh, fuck.
Karma got him.
Very sad. That's very sad.
Right? That's why I knew you wouldn't be scared. Just sad.
Okay. Yeah. That's just sad.
You can be thankful for your bed by the window now.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay, let's be scared again.
Oh, I'd rather be sad.
This is a roller coaster. Okay. Something was wrong.
Ooh, that one sounds familiar.
Something was wrong. Here it goes. One morning, John Sullivan found himself walking along a street downtown. He could not explain what he was doing there, or how he got there, or where he had been earlier. He didn't even know what time it was. He saw a woman walking toward him and stopped her. "I'm afraid I forgot my watch," he said and smiled. "Can you tell me the time?" When she saw him, she screamed and ran. Then John Sullivan noticed that other people were afraid of him. When they saw him coming, they flattened themselves against a building or ran across the street to stay out of his way. "There must be something wrong with me," John Sullivan thought. "I'd better go home." He hailed a taxi, but the driver took one look at him and sped away. John Sullivan did not understand what was going on, and it scared him. "Maybe somebody at home can come and get me," he thought. He found a telephone and called his wife, but a voice he did not recognize answered. "Is Mrs. Sullivan there?" he asked. "No, she is at a funeral," the voice said. "Mr. Sullivan was killed yesterday in an accident downtown."
That one gave me goosebumps.
Right?
Like, it didn't necessarily scare me, but it still gave me, like, goosebumps.
I love these. Let's go ahead and read the next one. The Wreck. Fred and Jean went to the same high school, but they met for the first time at the Christmas dance. Fred had come by himself, and so had Jean. Soon Fred decided that Jean was one of the nicest girls he had ever met. They danced together most of the evening. At 11 o'clock, Jean said, "I have to leave now. Can you give me a ride? Sure, he said. I've got to go home, too. I accidentally drove my car into a tree on my way over here, Jean said. I guess I wasn't paying attention. Fred drove her to the head of Brady Road. It was a neighborhood he didn't know very well. Why don't you drop me off here, Jean said. The road up ahead is in really bad condition. I can walk from here. Fred stopped the car and held out some tinsel. Have some, he said. I got it at the dance. Thank you, she said. I'll put it in my hair, and she did. Would you like to go out sometime to a movie or something, Fred asked. That would be fun, Jean said. After Fred drove off, he realized that he did not know Jean's last name or her telephone number. I'll go back, he thought. The road can't be that bad. He drove slowly down Brady Road through a thick wood, but there wasn't a sign of Jean, and he came around a curve. He saw the wreckage of a car ahead. It had crashed into a tree and had caught fire. Smoke was still rising from it. As Fred made his way to the car, he could see someone trapped inside, crushed against the steering column. It was Jean. In her hair was the Christmas tinsel he had given her.
What the fuck?
Dang.
So, wait a minute. She was already dead? Like, it was her ghost? Or she died
to the party
seconds after? I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, I guess he was hanging out with her ghost, which I don't know what bystanders, what they saw.
Interesting. Okay.
One Sunday morning, Ida always went to the 7 o'clock Sunday morning service at her church. Usually she heard the clanging of the church bells while she was eating breakfast, but this morning she heard them while she was still in bed. That means I'm late, she thought. Ida jumped out of bed, quickly dressed, and left without eating or looking at the clock. It was still dark outside, but it usually was dark at this time of year. Ida was the only one on the street, and the only sounds she heard were the clatter of her shoes on the pavement. Everybody must already be in church, she thought. Ida took a shortcut through the cemetery, then she quietly slipped into the church and found a seat. The service had already begun. When she caught her breath, Ida looked around. The church was filled with people she had never seen before, but the woman next to her did look familiar. Ida smiled at her. It's Josephine Kerr, she thought, but she's dead. She died a month ago. Suddenly, Ida felt uneasy. She looked around again. As her eyes began to adjust to the dim light, Ida saw some skeletons in suits and dresses. This is a service for the dead, Ida thought. Everybody here is dead except me. Ida noticed this, that some of them were staring at her. They looked angry, as if she had no business there. Josephine Kerr leaned toward her and whispered, "Leave right after the benediction if you care for your life." When the service came to an end, the minister gave his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you, he said. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Ida grabbed her coat and walked quickly toward the door. When she heard footsteps behind her, she glanced back. Several of the dead were coming toward her. Others were getting up to join them. The Lord lift up his countenance to you, the minister went on. Ida was so frightened she began to run. Out the door she ran, with a pack of shrieking ghosts at her heels. Get out, one of them screamed. Another shouted, you don't belong here, and ripped her coat away. As Ida ran through the cemetery, a third grabbed a hat from her head. Don't come back, it screamed, and it shook its arm at her. By the time Ida reached the street, the sun was rising, and the dead had disappeared. Did this really happen? Ida asked herself. Or had I been dreaming? That afternoon, one of Ida's friends brought over her coat and hat and what was left of them. They had been found in the cemetery, torn to shreds.
Spooky!
That shit was fucking spooky, like, for real.
Mm-mm.
I'm by myself in this room. That's why it's freaking me out.
The ghost stories are pretty good in this little collection. Okay. Sounds.
Oh, the house. Good. Pepper just keeps staring at me, dude. She's tripping me out.
She can feel your vibes.
She probably can. And then her eyes are like super dark.
You're saying she's freaking me out, and she's saying you're freaking her out.
Yeah, probably. Pepper.
She's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, she's like, Mom, why are you acting?
Should we be afraid? She goes, okay.
I'll send you a picture of how she's looking at me.
How cute. The little munchkin.
It's not cute. When you see it, you're going to be like, wee.
She can see into people's souls.
That's what it looks like in this picture. Okay.
Did you ever read Chicken Soup for the Teenage Soul or whatever?
Oh my God, I had like 15 of those. They were so good.
I would read those too constantly.
It made me cry all the time.
Seriously, I know. OMG.
It looks scary. It looks like she doesn't have eyes. We're going to have to fucking post that shit on the Instagram.
Oh, you better rub her with an egg. Because right. I'm laughing too hard at her. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I do need to. Shit.
That was too funny. She's looking like Momo.
Stop.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Jeremy fucking throwing shit at the dogs down here. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm laughing too much. That's how you know.
Yeah.
Back to business. Sounds. The house was near the beach. It was a big old place where nobody had lived for years. From time to time, somebody would force open a window or a door and spend the night there, but never longer. Three fishermen caught in a storm took shelter there one night. With some dry wood they found inside, they made a fire in the fireplace. They lay down on the floor and tried to get some sleep, but none of them slept that night. First, they heard footsteps upstairs. It sounded like there were several people moving back and forth. No. Back and forth. Mm. When one of the fishermen called, "Who's up there?" the footsteps stopped.
No!
Then they heard a woman scream. The scream turned into a groan and died away. Mm. Blood began to drip from the ceiling and into the room where the fishermen huddled. A small red pool formed on the floor and soaked into the wood. A door upstairs crashed shut, and again the woman screamed. "Not me," she cried. It sounded as if she was running, her high heels tapping wildly down the hall. "I'll get you," a man shouted, and the floor shook as he chased her. Then silence. There wasn't a sound until the man who had shouted began to laugh. Long peals of horrible laughter filled the house. It went on and on until the fishermen thought they would go mad. When finally it stopped, the fishermen heard someone coming down the stairs dragging something heavy that bumped on each step. They heard him drag it through the front hall and out the front door. The door opened and then it slammed shut. Again, silence. Suddenly a flash of lightning filled the house with a green blaze of light. A ghastly face stared at the fishermen from the hallway. Then came a crash of thunder. Terrified, they ran out into the storm.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, those kinds of hauntings that are just on a loop of that terrible, terrible night.
That's fucking scary. But also, that could have been a real person.
That, you know what, with, okay, because especially with the watching YouTubers, like, go and investigate places.
Wait.
Whenever they go to, like, abandoned places, I'm like,
how do you know someone else ain't there?
Yeah. That creeps me out, because what if they are and they have a weapon or something? Which has happened before. There's YouTube videos about, like, little compilations of people doing that urban exploration or whatever. Which I would be down to do, because I love looking at old stuff. So when people, which is so creepy, like when they just pick up and go and everything is how it was, yes. It's just dusty.
Yeah.
I love looking at stuff. So I could be in there all day long, and then there's something making noise upstairs and I'm like, stop it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to see what...
You're like, I'm just being nosy.
Are you alive? Are you real? Ugh.
Pepper, please.
Pepper's afraid.
She's scaring me.
Let's do one more good one. I'll read them and let you just pick from the title.
She didn't okay. like that.
A weird blue light. Somebody fell from aloft. The little black dog. Clinkety clink. That's from the first section. Then from the next section. The bride. Rings on her fingers. The drum. Oh, fuck. The drum freaks me the fuck out. The window we already read. Wonderful sausage. The cat's paw. The voice.
You know
the
what?
Next one. What?
I already picked. Let's do the sausage.
Wonderful sausage. Here we come. One dark, rainy Saturday afternoon, a fat and jolly butcher named Samuel Blunt had an argument over money with his wife, Eloise. Blunt lost his temper and killed Eloise. Then he ground her up into sausage meat and buried her bones under a big flat rock in the backyard. To keep the murder a secret, he told everyone that he had moved away, that she had moved away. Blunt mixed his new sausage meat with pork, then seasoned it with salt and pepper, added some sage and thyme and a bit of garlic. To give it a special flavor, he smoked it in his smokehouse for a while. He called it Blunt's Special Sausage. There was such a demand for this new sausage that Blunt bought the best hogs he could find and started raising his own pork. He also kept a sharp lookout for humans who might make a tasty sausage meat. One day, a nice plump school teacher came into his shop. Blunt grabbed her and ground her up. Another time, Blunt's dentist came by. He was a little round man, and into the grinder he went. Then, one by one, the children in the neighborhood began to disappear, and so did their kittens and puppies.
Oh,
but no one
my
ever.
God.
That's where you draw the line. I'm sorry. Then one day, Blunt made a big mistake. No one ever dreamed that Blunt the butcher had anything to do with it. Things went on that way for years. Then one day, Blunt made a big mistake. A fat boy came into the butcher shop. Blunt grabbed him and started to drag him off to the sausage grinder, but the boy broke loose and ran out of the shop, and Blunt chased after him, waving a big butcher knife. Mm-hmm. Then people saw this. They realized at once what had become of all the missing children, grown-ups, and kittens and puppies. An angry crowd gathered at the butcher shop. No one knows for sure what happened to Blunt that day. Some say he was fed to his hogs. Others say he was fed to his sausage grinder. But he was never seen again, and neither was his wonderful sausage meat.
I'm so glad I picked that one.
So you're not so scared?
Yes.
Dang it. Well, it was still accomplished early on, so that's good.
Yes, it was. That shit was fucking scary. Like, I haven't been scared in a while like that, so I could not handle it.
The writing holds up. Good thing. Good on Alvin Schwartz. What a enjoyable set of stories there.
Yeah.
Next time we'll visit the other collection of stories I have. It's called 100 Hair-Raising Little Horror Stories. I got it at a Barnes & Noble or something.
And they are definitely hair-raising.
Yes, I can't wait to see what they have to offer next time. But yeah, so that was my episode today to kind of ease us back into a lighter side of our, I guess, I don't know, subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I wanted to go back to paranormal stuff. So that was fun telling little ghost stories.
It sure
nostalgic.
Was.
Thank you for joining me for that. And also thank you for all your input and thoughts on what's going on in the true crime community.
No problem. Did you want to hear what my question was?
Oh, yes. Thankfully, you wrote it down at the beginning.
Sure
go
did.
On.
Well, I was going to ask you, but now that we've had the discussion, finally, like, I don't know if I want to even do that, but I'll ask anyway. Oh, shit. I'll ask anyways. Should we start doing only mystery and spooky and take out true crime altogether?
I was going to suggest the same, at least ease it out a little bit, you know?
Yes. Yeah, like phase it out.
Head in a different direction. Yeah, there you go. Okay. I think that's a great idea.
Perfect.
I wonder if anyone will share their thoughts or just go with the flow. They trust us. We're driving the ship.
I do think we should
hop on
at
board.
Least... Maybe not tell the whole story, but like how we talk at the beginning and the end of like certain things or whatever. I wonder if we should do that.
I wonder. The structure is always changing. So I just say, like with my stuff, I've just been kind of prefacing what my episode's going to be and it's different. And I'll kind of say that about
yeah.
it.
Okay.
I'm trying something new. You could just do the same. Just
All right.
structure your next episode on how. You think, and we'll, and I'll follow your lead. It
All
works
right.
for me.
Cool.
When we chit chat, we chit chat. When we debrief the situation, we debrief the situation.
Sounds perfect.
Wonderful. What a fun time. Well, I'm glad to be back, guys. Thank you so much for joining us this week, and we will catch you guys next time.
So, did we give you the creeps?